morning. We're looking forward to it. Are you able to see Elise and Sandy, and of course Jonathan? Jonathan is he's the reason we're here this morning. And as the slide before said, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And that's a desire that we have for our little ones, our babies, our children here at Bethel. And Bethel Nursery 10 years ago was a fairly quiet place, but it's not very quiet anymore. And we thank people like Jen Lambert who look after the nursery. And so here's Jonathan Alexander Norris. And Jonathan means Jehovah's gift. And some came up to me recently and said, I hear you've been really struck by your grandson because I'm Papa Pete. And I said, guilty as charged. I really am struck with this little guy, and it's going to be fun. But it's a blessing, isn't it, children? Children are a blessing. I know many of you here have experienced children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they are a blessing, and we recognize that here this morning. Jake and Jenny are here. Tininga are here. Of course, parents of Elise, Tininga. And Kathy's here as well as myself, parents of Sandy. And Jonathan is still doing very well here. He's got his head back and just going to sleep for us here. George Barna said that in Revolutionary Parenting, as parents, our deepest desire is to raise children who succeed in life. This is also our greatest challenge. How can we foster traits as honesty, compassion, and dedication in young minds? How can we raise children who desire to love God as adults? And the whole book, there's a whole book on that. But that's a question I present to you this morning as we consider a dedication. A baby dedication is a ceremony in which believing parents and their family, the church family as well, recognize the blessing, and make a commitment before the Lord to raise their children according to God's word and God's ways. We'll just go back to slide number 2, still, please. I want to read very quickly. I should never say read the word of God very quickly, should I? But it's a short number of verses, and the reason I read this is because it's good to read the word of God at any service, but at a dedication service. Another reason I read this chapter is because, 5 verses, is because Bruce Cain spoke on this chapter in July of 1999, and Bruce was a great influence on our family and on Sandy and Elise, and Bruce Cain married Sandy and Elise and probably gave some advice on how to raise this little fella, Jonathan, as well. So he spoke that day. It was called In the Home, and that's a very appropriate, isn't it, for our family weekend. And he emphasized that unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor are in vain. Do we want to labor in vain? Anybody want to labor in vain? It's a tough way to go, isn't it? But when the Lord is with us, we are not going to labor in vain. Verse 1, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house. We talked about a foundation this morning, didn't we? And the Lord is building the house. Its builders labor in vain without that. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. And this is the way Solomon describes it. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And so it underlines the blessing that children are. They're a heritage, they're a reward, they are a gift. And we think, when we think of a child and we think of a gift, we've been singing about it, haven't we? Jesus Christ came to this earth and he came as a baby. And he went through the different stages of life, and he lived a perfect life, and he died on a cross. And he rose from the dead, and he's alive today, and we have hope as a result of him. We have eternal life as a result of faith in that. But the psalmist, Solomon, goes on. Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived. At least he was one of the wisest kings of Israel. And so these should be wise words. Like arrows, children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And I think of commitment. We thought of blessing, and now we're thinking of commitment. And perhaps the arrows in the hand of a strong paramedic or something like that, as Sandy's a paramedic. But I think Sandy likes to shoot arrows, and so it's an analogy here. You want the warrior, the person to be strong, to be able to pull the bow back, to be able to see well in order to see the target. And the target is the Lord. We want to launch these kids out, and we want them to hit the mark. And that's the target, and that's the Lord. And the bow has to be well strung. The bow has to be worthy, and the arrow has to be well tuned, and in order to hit the mark. But all of those things that that we receive from that analogy. Solomon also said in Proverbs 22, one with promise. He says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go." On the next slide, thank you. Number three. We talked about commitment. We talked about blessing. We talked about commitment. And commitment, I think, when I saw this slide, I said, that's commitment. And we can't show all the family slides this morning, but that's commitment. Four generations. Whenever you see four generations in a room at one time, that's commitment. And look at this. There's Elise, mom, and her mom, Jenny, and Elise's great opa. Oma. I knew I was going to say that. And then, of course, Jonathan. And I heard a little story. I'll just quickly relate it to you. And that is, Jonathan's great Oma, on the night on the day they were married. On that night, they rode their bicycles. It was after the Second World War. They rode their bicycles on to their destination all night. They rode their bicycles. Now, anybody who rides a bicycle all night, it's got to be a pretty good go. And the next morning, they got up and went to church. First day of their honeymoon, they went to church. So that's commitment. Let's go on. We have to keep moving here. That was in the Netherlands, so that's very different from the way we ride bicycles here. In your case, you could think that that's a silly thing to do. Not at all. So let's move on to slide four, because this is where we're at today. And since Sandy and Elise have presented Jonathan here today and wish that to stand before you in dedication for this young man, you are asked before God and his people the following questions in commitment. And I'll read the letter to parents, and then you'll see the parents' response before you on the screen. Can you see the screen? Yeah, okay. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Accept the promises of God and affirm the truth of the Christian faith, which is proclaimed in the Bible. Children are a blessing from the Lord and a great commitment also. Do you promise in reliance to the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Christian community to do all in your power to instruct Jonathan in the Christian faith and lead him by your example to be a disciple of Christ? Right. There are many leaders here today, many people here today. I think of Sunday school teachers and Awana teachers and friends and role models and many of you that will interact with Jonathan in his lifetime. And that's now is where you come in, because it's a family. It's not just three or a bigger family, but it's a church family. And the commitment then is the next slide, slide five, the church's commitment. I'll read the leader to the congregation, and then you can respond. If you would be able to stand, you're welcome to for this, and just as we remember the commitment that we are making. Do you, the people of the Lord here at Bethel, promise to receive Jonathan in love, pray for him, help instruct him in the Christian faith, giving the strong support of God's family to Jonathan and his parents? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, let's gather, and we'll pray as we finish here. If you want to come a little closer here, that would be wonderful. And this may be a prayer. At least some of these, many of these words would have been a prayer that would have been prayed over Elise when she was a couple of weeks old. And so it's a prayer that focuses on Jonathan, but it starts big and it ends big, and it focuses on Jonathan as we think of how it is a blessing, but it is a commitment as well. And now we ask for God to help us all, both Sandy and Elise and our larger family here at Bethel. Lord our God, forever faithful, we thank you for the blessing of children. We recognize the responsibility as well. Grant Sandy and Elise and to us all the wisdom and love to carry out the commitments we have made here today. We pray that you will guide our little ones through their lives. Enable them to respond in faith to the gospel when they come to understand it. Fill them with your spirit and make their lives fruitful. Give them strength to endure trials. And when Christ returns, may they be able to celebrate with all the people of God your greatness and goodness forever in the joy of the new creation. Amen. Amen.
So welcome to a baptism. Baptism is one of two ordinances that we find in Scripture. The other is the Lord's Supper, which we had the privilege of celebrating this morning. And now we have the privilege of celebrating baptism. Baptism is a command that was given to the church by the Lord himself. In Matthew's gospel, we read, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We see baptism being practiced in the early church in the book of Acts. As you read through it, you will find those who were believers being baptized. It's referred to as believers' baptism. There's other types of baptism in Scripture, but what we're going to witness today is believers' baptism. And in order to be baptized, there is one thing that is essential, and that is that the person being baptized is already a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've already had their sins forgiven, and they know him as Savior. Baptism is closely associated with salvation, but it is not necessary for salvation. It's an act of obedience in which someone who has been saved by the matchless grace of God declares to those gathered that they belong to the Lord and desire to live a life in which they acknowledge him as Lord because they belong to him. Now, it's a great privilege for me this morning to be able to baptize Abigail Marshall. For those that don't realize it, Abigail is my oldest granddaughter, and her other grandparents are here this morning as well, and her parents, and aunts and uncles. And so for me, this is a tremendous privilege. I baptized her mom and her dad, and now I count it an honor to baptize Abby, my little buddy. We had questions that we give to those who are being baptized, and Abby, because she's like her grandfather and rather quiet, she didn't want to do this herself, so she asked me to read these answers for her, so I'm helping her out again. The first question is, how did you come to faith? And Abby says, my parents taught me that I was a sinner and that Jesus died for me to save me from my sins. And all I had to do to get into heaven was to repent and ask to be forgiven. And so Abby believed that. And she accepted it. How has this changed your life? She says, I'm different from other people in my class, and I try to follow the rules that God has set forth in the Bible. And that's the best all we can do, is to try with the help of God to follow what he has told us in his word. Why do you want to be baptized? Because God tells us to. And because it shows the church that I'm putting behind the old ways and going to live my life for Christ. And then finally, we ask them if there's a particular verse that means a lot to them. And the verse that means a lot to Abigail is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, Abby, have you accepted? I think I'll go on the other side. I put my back out this week, so don't worry. Okay, just put your hands like that. So, Abby, have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith, I count it a privilege and an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Firm to the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, where fears are stilled, when striving ceases, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
David has to go and change so he can speak to us later on, so I'm the step-in or whatever you call it. But I get the privilege of baptizing three people this morning, and it's a real special day with four people being baptized, but it's special for us as a family, as a church family. It's like a shot of adrenaline for the church. It's so refreshing. It reminds us, it gives us the evidence that God's still at work, and we can see his fingerprints all over these people's lives in such a substantial blessing for all of us. It's a special day. We're glad that each and every one of you are here, whether it's the first time you've been here or been here hundreds of times. We're just glad you're here. So on behalf of the Bethel family, I also would like to thank and recognize all those involved in ministry here. We're sharing Christ, sharing his love, as well as many faithful prayer warriors. We're up here, we get to do the baptism, but it's the work, the investment that you make in people's lives that bring these fruits forward. So we just want to say thank you to all those that are involved so faithfully. The work of the cross is God's offer of life. The act of baptism is part of our public acknowledgement that we have accepted that. So one of the ladies that wants to get baptized this morning is Susan. So Susan, if you'd come down here. Remembered your glasses, that's good.
I remembered my glasses.
There's your sheet. Well, there's, as you know, there's a questionnaire that we've been using of late with regards to some questions for those who are getting baptized. And so I'm going to ask those questions of Susan. And how did you first come to know Christ as Lord, as your Savior?
We were brought to honor and praise God and Jesus as children when we grew up. In my 20s, I lost track of that, and I didn't really know God at all. And I give my most thanks to my sister, Laura, who brought the worship back to our house. And then I chose myself to actually study and get to know God better and have a relationship with God and Jesus every day.
And how has that salvation changed your life?
Well, I found dealing with life actually became more difficult. Sometimes it's very tough because I constantly have to watch what I'm thinking, and the old habits and the old ways, I have to get rid of that, and that's a continuous process. So I'm letting God handle my life more and not worry so much. It's a constant process to trust that God has my best interests in mind.
And why on earth would you decide to get baptized?
Well, I feel the need to demonstrate my relationship with God and Jesus and to strengthen it and grow, and to demonstrate my commitment to our Lord, and I want to be with him in heaven one day, and I will follow him forever and always, and this is one of the ways to show that.
Cool. Amen. And any special Bible verses that mean a lot?
Yes, I say this one every night. It has helped me immensely with all kinds of trouble and even in good times. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father to send you a counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the world cannot accept him, for they can't see him nor know him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and is in you." Amen.
Amen.
Good. I'm good.
Just come this way.
Okay.
Susan, do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior?
I do, yes.
Upon your confession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
This is Beverly. And Beverly, how did you come to faith in the Lord?
Well, I first came to know the Lord as a child attending Bethel Bible Chapel in the Awana program, and it was your daughter Esther that introduced me to this church. So it's really special that you're the one to baptize me today. because I came to Bethel, I believe this is where I first learned about Jesus and his sacrifice for me. However, I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior while attending Galilean Bible Camp. Now, as an adult, I have restored my faith in Christ after leaving the church for almost 20 years. I began attending Bethel about a year and a half ago with my children, and I restored my faith in the Lord shortly after that time.
And that's changed your life in many ways, I imagine, but what are some of those ways?
My life has changed greatly in the last few months after restoring my faith in Christ. Before coming back to church, I felt like I was searching for something to fill an unknown void in my life. At first, I thought I just needed friendship from others, but quickly I learned that what I really needed was his guidance and reassurance in my life. I felt lost and lonely, and now I feel accepted and loved. I feel my life has purpose, and I have a new sense of confidence that I was lacking prior to coming back to Bethel. I am even trusting him to guide me, as I have recently been called back to work as a teacher after a six-year absence.
Cool. And why do you want to get baptized?
I want to be baptized because it's the next logical step in developing a closer relationship with Christ. I have restored my faith in the Lord, and now I want to set a positive example for my children and my family that I am truly grateful for Christ's ultimate sacrifice for my sins. I want to publicly commit myself to a better life in which Christ is the focus and not myself.
And you have some life verses, some favorite verses?
I have two of them. They're very similar, but Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and Isaiah 41, verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Good.
Yeah.
Beverly, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
I have.
Upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So what's your name, young lady?
Naomi.
Naomi. Well, I happen to know that you sent a very special Christmas card to your papa last Christmas. Is that true?
I can't remember.
Papa does.
Oh,
and there's a second page to it, too. If you can find that.
Yep.
So that was you? Good. Okay. I also happen to know that you've been excited about today, that you've been counting down the days for over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have.
How many days have you been counting down? 30?
I can't remember.
Can't remember.
It's
okay.
Been so long.
Just in case you didn't get the hint, I'm Papa. So tell me, when did you accept Jesus as your Savior? Can you hear this? Okay. Let me, do you want to turn that around for me just a little bit? I just don't want to do it, just in case there's sparks, that's all. So why do you want to get baptized?
Well, because I want to go on another step in following Jesus and let people know that I'm serious about following Jesus.
That's cool. Would you pray for us?
I don't know.
Would you? Just thank the Lord for what he's doing today and what's going on?
How about you do.
Okay. Okay, Papa will do it. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. We thank you for what you're doing in Naomi's life. We thank you, Father, for her commitment to you and her desire to follow you. I would ask your particular blessing upon her as she takes this step of faith and this step of obedience. We just thank you for her and ask her your abundant blessings upon her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you want to come? I have two verses for you first, okay? Two verses. One's in Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. And it says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory."
That's a nice verse.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
But both of them, not just one.
Just one, but both of them. Okay, good. Let's go this way.
Wow, it's warm in here.
Yeah, it's warm. It's nice though, eh? So, Naomi, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Well, then it's upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, it is one of my life's biggest blessings to baptize you.
Are you crying?
I am. It's not really crying, it's allergies. Papa has a real bad case of allergies.
For this time?
Yeah, I might need that in a minute. It is one of my life's biggest blessings to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Said the work of the cross is God's offer of life. The act of baptism is your public knowledge that we've accepted that. Although baptism is a very simple ceremony, it has a very deep spiritual significance of great importance. It's a simple thing. Step one, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Step two, you decide to be serious about your faith, about your relationship with Jesus. And you realize that he has instructed that those that belong to him get baptized. Step three, you decide to be obedient to the Lord and get baptized. You don't have to reach some special level of spirituality. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's between you and God. Simply being obedient to God. If there's anyone else here that has been convicted of their need for baptism, I'll stay here for another couple of minutes. If you want to come and be baptized, we can do that today. If you're feeling convicted, but you you want to wait a little bit, we just see one of the elders, see one of us, and we'll work something out in the future. But if you have any desire, present tense, to be baptized, then please come forward. If not, we can let David.
I thought I better change before I get up here. You'd be thinking I was all wet. But has been a good day. It's a good weekend, and I thought that maybe for a few minutes this morning, since it's family day, I would center my thoughts around family. Now, this particular picture here, believe it or not, the guy with the nice mustache, that's me. That picture was taken approximately 25 years ago. And at that time, that was, for Ruth and I, that was our little family. But then time has changed things, and if I can get this to move. Oh, sorry, I know what's wrong. Time has changed things. And Marion got married first, and she married Phil, and she's got three beautiful little girls. And then Cheryl, our daughter that some of you won't know very well, or not at all, but she lives in the West. She got married, and three little girls. Then Andrew married Jessica, three little girls. Philip's still eligible. But he's told me that he doesn't need my help. I'm always trying to help him. You know how dads are. But always trying to help him. But you know, to make things a little more, oh, and by the way, there's what we look like now. Okay, mustache is gone. Hair's turned color. I dyed it gray. And we're all set there. But you know, when it comes to families, I was thinking of how that I'm part of the Nicholson family by birth. I'm part of the Norris family by marriage. When I was working, before I retired, I worked at St. Mary's College, and they were always talking about the St. Mary's family, and so I was part of the St. Mary's family. And then often we hear the term around here of the Bethel family, and so I'm part of the Bethel family. But you know, as great as it is to be a Nicholson and then to be married to a Norris and to have worked at St. Mary's and to be part of the Bethel family, there's something that's far greater. And that is far more important. And that is to be part of God's family. And that's what I would like you to consider for a few minutes with me this morning, and to make sure that you're part of God's family. Now, we're going to read God's word. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 19. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. In these particular verses, Paul is reminding the Christians in Ephesus of where they came from. He's reminding them of their past and how that they were just like everyone else. They were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and he's reminding them of the past. But then you come to verse 4 and you see that God steps into the picture. And so he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so he's reminding these people that even though at one time they were dead and they were in their trespasses and sins, because that's the way they were born, and yet by God's grace they had been saved. And then we're just, because of time, we'll skip down to verse 19. And it says in verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Now, if you read through the scriptures, especially if you're using the King James or the New King James Version, you really don't find the family of God written in there. But it's referred to, and if you look at other versions, you will find that, the family of God. But here you notice in verse 19, he's telling them that they are members of the household of God, which is the family of God. Not because of anything that they had done in themselves, but because of God's grace. By grace, they had been saved through faith. And so they were part of the family of God. Now, when it comes to the family of God, I was thinking there's a lot of questions that we could ask. And here's just a few of them. You know, we might ask ourselves the question, well, why does God want us and his family? Like, why? When you think of God and who he is, like, why would he want someone like me and his family? And yet, he not only wants me in his family, I'm glad to tell you this morning that I am in his family because he wanted me. And then we might ask this question, well, who is it that belongs to God's family? Well, some people belong to God's family and some don't. When we're born into this world, we're born in sin. We are not part of God's family. In order to be part of God's family, we need to have experienced the new birth. We need to be born again. And then we can be born into God's family. Then we could ask, well, how does it happen? How does it one become part of God's family? That's a good question. And that's actually the one I'm going to spend most of my time on. Then we could also ask the question, well, if people are in God's family, what do they have in common? How do you recognize them as family members? What do they have in common? And we don't have time to do all these. And then we could also talk about family responsibilities. Because in any family, there's responsibilities. Everyone has their responsibility. I remember after my mom passed away when I was 12, in our family, every member had their particular responsibility. My older brother, who was 15 at the time, he was the cook. And he's still a great cook. He learned a lot. I was the dishwasher. And I still enjoy cleaning up after supper. Right? It's amazing, but we all had our responsibility. And in God's family, everyone has a responsibility. And then this is an important question. Can you be in God's family and then be removed from God's family? And I believe that the answer is no. Once saved, saved forever. But we don't again, and we can prove it. But we just don't have time this morning. And so what I would like to just concentrate on for a couple of minutes is, how does one become part of God's family? And I knew that we were going to have the children in here this morning. So I'm going to try something here that might catch their attention as well. And I made up this slide. And in this slide, I want to try and explain very quickly how one becomes part of God's family. You see, here's the situation. We have God, and he's above all. And then down at the bottom, we have the people. We have you and I, and we're at the bottom. And the Bible tells us that we're all born on a broad road that leads to destruction. And so you have God and you have these people. And God wants to have a family. But there's a problem because these people cannot be in this family because of sin, because they've turned their backs on him. And so there has to be a way. And you know, as people walk along that road, there are some people that try this. Try on their own to become part of God's family. But the problem is, it doesn't work. Because everything that we do, we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short. We can't please God on our own. We can't take care of our own sin. No one can become part of God's family because of their own efforts. It's impossible. No matter how good you are, No matter how hard you try, no matter how many years you try, it is utterly impossible for you or I, on our own merits, to become God, part of God's family. It's an impossibility, according to the scripture, and that's what we base everything on. So that's an impossibility. You see, in order to become part of God's family, this had to happen. Jesus had to come. Jesus had to die upon the cross. Jesus had to give himself as a sacrifice on account of our sin. And then because he died, because he paid the penalty of our sin, then it's possible for you and I become part of God's family. But this is how it's done. You see, it's by way of the cross. There's no other way. And so it's so important, my friend, are you part of God's family? Nothing more important. And if you're going to be part of God's family, it's by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus alone. Jesus alone can save. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Most important thing in life is to be saved. And there's only one way. Jesus is the only way. One way, God says, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. You know, there's another problem too, because some people try to do this. Do you notice what happened there? Let me just go back, then I'll do it again. You ready? You know, watch. See what that little guy down the corner tried to do? He figured maybe he was getting to heaven because the person he's associated with is getting to heaven. See that? In other words, he figures he's going to hang on to his parents' religion. And if my mother's a Christian, then maybe if I, because I'm hers, but it doesn't work that way either. You see, this is an individual decision that has to be made. It's a personal decision. And each one of us here personally have to decide if we're going to accept Christ as our Savior, if we're going to say yes to the Savior, we're going to invite him to be a part of our life and have our sins forgiven. But it's a decision that only you can make. Your parents can't make it for you. You can't do it on your own. And my friend, you must be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, we've worked a lot in this morning. I'm 5 minutes over time, so I'm going to finish. But I want everyone to think within their own mind. Are you part of God's family? You know, it's great to have an earthly family, isn't it? Nothing like it in this life than to have a family that loves you, cares for you. But my friend, it's more important than having a family here. It's more important for you to be sure that you're part of God's family. And you can only do that by accepting Christ as Savior. Now, we have one other event that we would like to acknowledge today. Peter and Kathy are going to Zambia to work at a mission there and to dispense glasses. And when is it you're going, Peter? This Wednesday. So what we're going to do is ask Peter and Kathy to come up, and the elders, the leadership, to come up. And then we'll ask Ken Overman, and he'll pray for God's blessing upon Peter and Kathy as they go to Zambia. And then Darren, if you want to just be ready to go.
Father, we give thanks for all that has happened here this morning. And we would ask now, as part of our family leave us this week, to head across the world to minister to people in need. We pray that you would go with them and prepare the way for them as Peter and Kathy leave us. And Father, we thank you for the burden that you've placed on them, for the needs of others who need to be able to see clearly. And we just would pray in advance for those who will receive a blessing of sight from them. And Father, we again just thank you for all that has happened here this morning, for each one who was baptized, for all of the family here. We just pray your rich blessing and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more little chorus.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family, the family of God. We'll sing that once more. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. For I'm part of the family. Family of God. Amen. Have a blessed day. Tomorrow, Family Day. And if anybody has any more questions, some of the elders and leadership will be up at the front here. And come on up and ask. And God bless.